B-Pod Studios.
Today on Talkin' Rock with Meltdown.
Tim Ripper Owens is my guest today on the Talkin' Rock with Meltdown podcast. A lot of things happening in 2020 as far as tours are concerned. He talks about possible new music as well. But we had to start off talking about Judas Priest, snubbed in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
But, you know, that's what happens. I mean, it does open the gates up for Judas Priest making the Rap Hall of Fame. So that's probably a good thing nowadays because
we talked about his time with Ronnie James Dio as well as the Ronnie James Dio hologram tour. And we also talked a little bit about the movie Rockstar. As some of you may know, that was loosely based on Ripper's life.
You know, the good thing about the Rockstar movie was it was the only time I had abs in my life.
He also gave me his thoughts on the passing of rock legend, Rush drummer Neil Peart.
It wasn't something that I listened to all the time, but without a doubt, one of the most influential drummers out there ever.
Tim Ripper Owens is my guest today on Talkin' Rock.
This is Talkin' Rock. Talkin' Rock. Your backstage pass to some of your favorite rock artists. Here's your host, Meltdown.
As always, a big thank you for listening to the Talkin' Rock with Meltdown podcast. Meltdown here along with Al Beck, who's going to join us later on with Rock News. Al, how you be?
I be good.
All right. Got some good rock news coming up, I hope.
I got some rock news.
You got some. Yeah, well, I was going to say, journalism's not your thing.
No,
we just get here so you can read stuff, which is what he does.
Poorly. Right. I can barely read even, yeah.
So we'll talk a little bit about Rush. Of course, their sales have just jumped through the roof.
As you would expect. I mean, You see that anytime someone passes away or we're reminded, like, you know, the Queen movie, obviously, that, you know, skyrocketed, so.
Exactly. Plus, a rocker fighting a couple physical battles. So we'll talk about a documentary coming out about a legend. Dave Grohl has some words as far as the Foo Fighters are concerned, celebrating a milestone for those guys. And speaking of milestones, Tuukka Rask from the Boston Bruins celebrated a milestone recently. And what he got in return for that was pretty cool.
Super
really
cool
impressive.
Gift, man. I kind of want it.
Yeah, I want it, too. So we'll tell you about that coming up here in just a few minutes. But anyways, today we're going to talk with Ripper Owens. And Judas Priest, of course, the frontman for 10 years, and he's got a lot of stuff in the fires, including this Three Tremors. And he goes out and tour with that. We talk about the Ronnie James Dio stuff. And of course, talk about Judas Priest. Even getting a little bit of political talk. Ripper's kind of a political guy, so we'll talk a little bit about that as well. Because our new song, Sonic Suicide, right now has these like political overtones in the video and the whole thing. So without any further ado, we'll get an Al Beck coming up here after Ripper. But first, here he is, Tim Ripper Owens, today on Talkin' Rock. How's things with you, man?
It's good, yeah. Nice and busy and, you know, busier than ever, really, so it's pretty good.
Is that right? What makes you busier than ever? What do you got on your plate for 2020 here?
Well, just more records coming out, a lot of touring. I mean, I'm touring till March right now and or April, I mean, and some other things in the works, maybe a new solo record and some other big things that'll come out eventually.
All right, you can't give us any hints, huh?
I can't give. Some things until contracts are signed, you got to kind of go, well, let's get this rolling here and let's wait a little bit.
I got you. No problem. So you also got this, you got the Dio thing coming up on February 10th. Is that right? Or February,
I do.
February 20th. I'm sorry, February 20th. Yeah.
February. I guess I do. Yeah. I guess I'm going to that. I don't have a plane ticket yet, so yeah, that's coming up. So
well, you better start driving or riding or something. So.
Well, I'll be flying from England because I'll be on tour in England at that moment, so I have to fly directly from England to LA for that.
Yeah, that's the Stand Up and Shout Cancer Front fun. I don't know if I've ever asked you about this or if I've ever heard you talk about it. Now, what was your relationship with Dio?
Well, we were friends, and I'll tell you, when I first met him, he just treated me like one of them. You know, here I am, I come out of nowhere, you know, join Judas Priest, put Jugulator out, and he was like, you know, he goes, you're one of us now. We just became friends. You know, he was an amazing guy, and he liked my singing a lot and gave me a lot of props in the press and the media, so he was just a great guy.
Yeah, and now that that hologram show was canceled here in Detroit for some reason last year. I don't know what exactly happened with that, but that was supposed to happen, so I didn't get a chance to see it. You were on that tour, correct?
Yeah, and it's amazing. Yeah, you know what? That's weird because that that show was selling really well. So we think maybe the promoter might have got offered something, because he actually had another show in Michigan somewhere that we did, and that one wasn't even selling as good as the other one. So I think he might have had an offer for something else.
Yeah, to come into that, Dave. I think Dave Chappelle played two shows. I don't know the back you know what happened, the backstory behind that, but I know I talked to Simon Wright, and I was looking forward to that show, and all of a sudden it was canceled out. So tell me about your experience on that tour.
Well, it's great. And first of all, Detroit paid us in full, so that's why you know something was up.
Oh, okay.
Was up. Yeah. anyways, you know what? It really was an amazing tour. It really got great reviews. And people who didn't like the idea, thinking, you know, something, blah, blah, blah. First of all, Wendy Dio loses money putting this tour on. You know, that's why, listen, if Wendy Dio was making money, that tour would go all year long, wouldn't it? You know, it's like, it's done to celebrate Ronnie, and it's done to make money someday, obviously, but it's unbelievable. The show itself is just, you know, the what's going on the screens, not just the hologram. And the hologram is cool because it comes in with the wind or comes in with fire. It's not like it's supposed to be Ronnie James Dio up there. It's really an amazing show, but just the pictures of his career and his bandmates and all the things that are going on in a giant screens. It's a really big production, and the reviews were outstanding. So it's a great show, and hopefully that's coming up. I mean, we're working on trying to get another tour out there in June, you know, May and June. And I have some other offers on the table for that time as well, so we're just kind of seeing what's happening.
Yeah. Yeah, a lot of things happening with you this year. And, of course, you just mentioned Judas Priest. They just got snubbed in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. What are your thoughts about that?
Well, I mean, you know, I don't like that idea just because it's called Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. But
right.
There's even other bands, in my opinion, that are even more deserving that still aren't in there as well, you know. So, I mean, here's the one thing about Judas Priest. Somebody said one time, well, they're trying to look for bands and musicians that are influential. Well, how can you be any more influential to music than Judas Priest?
Yeah,
you know?
Right.
Dual guitars, pretty much coin the face, heavy metal, the leather and studs and their, you know, what they wore, everything was just... but, you know, there's bands, to me, a band like Foreigner hasn't even been up for it. And I'm thinking, how can that band, out of everybody,
right,
not be in it? You know, I mean, I drive down the road and I probably hear a different Foreigner song all day long, probably 10 different songs.
Right.
And I think to myself, how in the world can this band not be in the Hall of Fame? But it is horrible. Judas Priest isn't in. And got, you know, snubbed again. But, you know, I mean, on the other hand, I won't be going in with Judas Priest either. So it looks like I was kind of snubbed as well. So, you know, I'm in the band about 10 years and I won't be going in.
I was going to ask you about that, if you would be going in with them. But let's change the subject, or let's change the dichotomy. Would you be at the ceremonies?
I'm certain I wouldn't be invited. But, I mean, listen, I'm still friends with everybody and I would certainly hope I would be invited to go if they went into the Hall of Fame. Absolutely. I can't imagine they wouldn't, but some of the decision-making, you know, that happens wouldn't shock me. I mean, obviously, they've kind of erased my history anyways. Doesn't change what I think. I'm absolutely, totally friends with them. Amazing people, all of them, Rob included. You know, the best thing about, you know, it's kind of like my college Judas Priest was. So, but I wouldn't think, I would think I would be invited. I mean, shocking that you could be in it about 10 years and two records up to that, you know, point, and two studio records and not go. But listen, it's amazing that they keep getting voted in by the fans. And not, but I mean, hey, Pat Benatar, as a female and influential, was snubbed again as well. And just amazing to me. I can't believe someone like Judas Priest that meant so much to a genre of music. But the problem is, it should not be called the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame then, because they're not putting rock and roll artists in, they're putting musicians in, and some of them, in my opinion, aren't even really musicians. So I can't, just because you can rhyme a couple words and fumble through something doesn't make you a musician.
I'm totally on board with you on that, yeah.
But, you know, that's what happens. I mean, it does open the gates up for Judas Priest making the Rap Hall of Fame. So that's probably a good thing nowadays, because, and I'm actually hoping I can get into the Football Hall of Fame, the NFL Football Hall of Fame this year. I don't play, and I never really have, but I do watch it, so I should probably be able to get in. That's kind of how they look at it. You know, it's just named the wrong thing, isn't it? That's the only thing. They should just change the name to the Music Hall of Fame.
I've said that plenty of times. The girl at work here says rock and roll is like a branding thing that encompasses music. I told her, I said, well, Black Sabbath would never go in the Hip Hop Hall of Fame. So it's like, I don't understand. I'm totally on board with what you're saying.
But you're exactly right. I mean, rock and roll is a branding of rock and roll.
Right.
You know, I mean, as close as you can get to rock and roll, you know, obviously some country artists could go in because they have some influence. You know, Johnny Cash, I could see going in there because he has, you know, old Johnny Cash was rockabilly and he has some of that influence. So I could see some of this. And nowadays country will definitely get in because they're more rock and roll than country. So, you know, there's no doubt about it that, but when you have rap artists, and nothing against it, I, you know, obviously if any rap artist is going to get in, which should have, was Run DMC, right? Because they were influenced. I mean, King of Rock was the name of their album, and they had guitars, and then they had that song with Aerosmith. But yeah, it's a strange thing, and you can't justify, well, rock and roll is this. Well, then, what? No, rock and roll, you nailed it. Rock and roll is a brand, and rap and some of these things that go in there aren't rock and roll. So just change the name. That's it. You know, then you've got it all covered. You're just fine.
I know. And of course, being you're from Ohio, right?
Yeah.
You're an Ohio native, so that'd be extra special to be in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, I'm sure. You're just talking about Priest now. You're still friends with all these guys. I texted Dave Ellison this morning. I said, ask, give me something about Ripper, because you played with him a few months back. And he says, ask him about that KK show we did back in November. What are his favorite moments, some fun times with KK and Priest, et cetera? So there you go. That's one from David Ellison.
Yeah, Dave's a great guy. We've been friends for a long time, and he played on my solo record and toured with me solo. And yeah, you know, we get a call to do this, and David was on his tour pushing his stuff, and was playing in Wolverhampton there at KK's place. So they got it together, and it was a great time. Ken and I have been friends for, you know, still talking forever. He comes to all my shows, and so to have that show put together with KK and Les Binks, you know, goes back with Priest to the early days, and David, it was great, and AJ's on guitar and the other guitar, Ken's friend. But it was great. It was a great time. And, you know, that's my thing. My time in Judas Priest was great. You know, I have not one bad thing to say. And even when I say, hey, they've kind of erased me now, it's not like I'm lying. They have erased me. But, you know, it's not, I understand it, and I'm all right with it. And it doesn't change my feelings of them. You know, we're all good friends. And like I said, even Rob and I, when we see each other. So it was great doing the show with him and getting up there with KK. And, you know, hopefully we'll do more in the future.
Yeah, you talk about your friendship with Rob. And for those that haven't met Rob, he's like the sweetest, nicest guy. And he can't hold any grudges against you. You stepped in when Judas Priest was looking for a frontman, right? I mean, that's just the bottom line, right?
Well, absolutely. I mean, that is what it is. And, we didn't have that attitude of going at each other. You know, people in the press was always, you know, trying to poke the bear and trying to make it something it wasn't, you know, and every now and then there would have been something out there. You know, people still say stuff now. I mean, and then they make it a bigger deal. But we were always respectful, and he was respectful with me, and he, you know, he didn't have to be as respectful, but he always was. And, you know, it was, you know, it's funny when the press can't find, you know, they work so hard to do this and make us hate each other, and it never did. It's probably one time that it's not fake news.
Yeah, you know, it's funny because if Rob wouldn't have left Judas Priest, he might not have been able to put a record out with Satchel. So that would, you know, there's something there too. So,
hey, right? Listen, how great was that record, though? I mean, and then it's funny to watch Russ go on and do that. That first fight record was so good, and Russ was so amazing on it. And then here he is now.
Yes.
Doing, making a lot of money.
Yes,
yes. That's the funniest part.
That's, you know, it. Yep, yep.
Let me, you know what? Listen, I never put on a wig and stuff, but I don't think the way my body is and putting on a wig would work very well for me. But I might have to start singing about vaginas and stuff like that.
Hey, speaking of that, you just mentioned fake news and stuff. What do you think about politics in music? Your latest video, Sonic Suicide, has political overtones in the video and the whole thing.
Well, I think I don't mind it as long as you don't get, you know, really upset with everybody. Or listen, I don't ever watch a musician's. Well, first of all, if they're spewing stuff, or people are spewing stuff that's hatred, that's what I don't agree with. Like, if you don't like somebody, or you don't like an angle, or you don't like whatever, to wish death upon people and hatred, I watch these people post that. I'm like, man, you are absolutely crazy. But I mean, it's what it is. I mean, everybody can have their opinion. You don't have to agree with it. But there's no, I mean, listen, if anybody thinks stuff about me, I'm like a middle of the road guy in politics. Like, I don't really talk too much about it. My Facebook page and my Instagram pages aren't, and Twitter pages aren't filled with it. I don't post about it. I might like something, but I don't post it. But, you know, I kind of call it common sense. You know, I kind of go with, I think whatever's right, I kind of think's right. But man, when someone thinks you're one way, I'm not joking about it. This never happened in the past. This is what I'll tell you this. 10 years ago, this stuff didn't happen. I get like messages wishing death upon my family if I don't believe in their political views. And it's the craziest thing I've ever seen. I've never done that in my life. I can't imagine sitting behind something or even wearing a T-shirt if you don't like somebody. That's bad. That's the stuff I don't like. But I don't, you know, people say it. And if you don't like it, you just move on. You know, if I have some of the music or an artist that just constantly posts crap that I think is crap all the time, that doesn't agree with me, I just don't follow them. I don't unfriend them. I just don't have to look at it, you know, or if there's a song, you know, I don't have to listen to it anymore. I don't agree with it. Or listen, I still might like the song and still listen to it. I don't have to agree with it.
That just sounds like common sense.
Well, that's what's missing nowadays. I mean, it really is. I mean, you don't have to agree with stuff, but you don't have to, you know, to see. It's a weird. It's so strange nowadays. I've never seen anything like this. I mean, it's weird. They don't even give things a chance, and they just kind of go off one way or the other, left, right, middle. It's just, but the hatred that they do, you never would have gotten away with that years ago, period. Period. I mean, you wouldn't get away with half the stuff that people do, and it's kind of crazy. But, you know, I don't, you know, people can do what they want. Just if it's my opinion, or if it's your opinion, but you're using hate to spew it, you know, or wishing bad things upon other people because they don't agree. That's what I don't like. You can voice your opinions. I think that's what everybody should be able to do.
Let me,
because it's been done. Listen, it's been done in music and TV for years, forever. But nobody, when you didn't agree with it, you didn't say, I hope you die. That's what's changed. It's like, you know, you used to listen to it, yeah, I don't agree with that, but I'll still listen to John Lennon, even though I don't agree with him. You know, I don't agree with what the Beatles are saying, but I'll still listen to him. So, but now it's kind of like weird, you know.
Well, it sounds to me like you're really just pointing a lot of things at social media, which is the big difference between when John Lennon and the Beatles were playing and now, you know?
Oh, 100%.
Yeah.
Because, you know, people can hide behind it and post stuff and that's exactly it. I mean, yeah, you couldn't get the people to say stuff, but you could. I mean, again, this still was going on. Social media has been around for 10 years now, but it's just really happened the last couple of years where people feel like hatred is okay.
Right.
That's, you know, political parties didn't used to spew as much hatred as what happens in the world nowadays, or people, or people, you know, their thoughts. They might have thought it, but they didn't, you know, you didn't post pictures of people getting their throat slit or something. You know, and even sports figures, and I mean, there's a running back for Cleveland Browns that posted a picture of a policeman getting his throat slit, and, then he started for him. I'm like, how does this guy even have a job for Cleveland Browns? How do you start the guy who just posted his picture? And but it's, you know, that's what people do now. You know, it's a weird world, and social media did it. Now people slowly can realize, you know what, I'm probably pretty safe by telling Tim I hope his family dies, because
yeah,
I don't like what he agrees with. So that's just the way it is, you know, and that shows you the mentality of some people.
Yeah, the keyboard warriors, they're called. So,
yeah.
Hey, as I'm talking to you, I'm just thinking about this. I was with Blaz back in Vegas a few months ago. We went and saw Chris Angel and stuff like that. And we were talking about the Rockstar movie. And, of course, you know, just hanging out with Blaz, and he was like hanging out with, you know, Jennifer Aniston. That's like the greatest thing ever as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah. Yeah, imagine that would have been pretty fun. You know, the good thing about the Rockstar movie was it was the only time I had abs in my life. So, I was kind of excited. I always hope people mix up the movies and say it was Boogie Nights about me, but they always still get Rockstar.
And Michael Starr was in that one, so there's all sorts of Steel Panther things going on.
Isn't that funny? Yeah, absolutely.
I was talking to Blaz, and he says that one scene where they were out in the parking lot and they were papering the parking lot for their flyers, apparently Jennifer Aniston shut the door on his hand, and he didn't want to make any faces or ruin the take, so he just kind of bit his tongue, and I guess she went back to the dress to his trailer or whatever and iced it up for him.
Oh, really?
That's what he told me, yeah.
Oh, well, that's very nice.
Dude, he's got a Jennifer Aniston story. I don't.
See? Well, here's a difference in time, because nowadays he would have sued her.
Yeah, perhaps.
See? That's how times change.
Hey, let me ask you something. I've seen this a lot, and I don't know. I just never thought about this. How did you get this Monster Energy endorsement?
Well, you know, probably 10 years ago, they kind of started with me. Slowly just, you know, they started giving me some product and giving me some stuff, and I'd be on the road, and then they said, hey, I said, can I put you on my solo record officially? And they said, yeah, sure. And that's when it started. I put their name on it, and then I became official sponsor, which is kind of strange you bring it up, because of a contract with Monster was up last April, and they just disappeared. They haven't even, like, they called me and said, okay, your renewal's in the mail, and then they've never, they won't return my calls anymore. So I've never had anything in music, actually, in my life, ever happen that would happen with a major company like that they just one day disappeared, like, stopped calling me. So it's kind of funny. I still wear the stuff and drink. I still support them and endorse them since April. It's May, basically. I still do it without them.
Without getting compensated.
I even called to say, hey, I need some shirts and stuff for the tour. They don't even message me back. It was the weirdest thing. I had to check to make sure they didn't move. Hey, you guys. Hello. It's kind of funny. I mean, I take it with some humor, but I've never had anything in the music industry or work industry happen where they don't just call me and say, hey, we're not renewing your contract. Been a good 10 years. Thank you. You kind of understand that, right? But it's like, that's just ignoring. He'll go away. That's kind of what I mean. Hey, ignore Tim. He won't come back. Ignore him. He won't. It's kind of funny. Even Judas Priest fired me, at least. That would have been funny with Judas Priest if he just stopped calling me. Like, shh, he'll go away. We're going to get Rob back, but he'll go away. He'll find out when we stop calling him.
Yeah, don't return the text or anything. Hey, final thing here for you.
Hey, I'll tell you about Monstro. It's really a great company. And they did so much for me with making backdrops and, you know, doing some shows for me and promoting me. It was really I could never imagine a company that worked so hard and did so much to help out my career. They really did. They did a lot. So that's why probably I still promote them even though I'm not with them. So it's because they treated me good.
Well, last thing here for you, Ripper, and then we'll cut you loose here. Neil Peart just passed away. How did that affect you? Were you a Rush fan growing up or anything?
I really wasn't a huge Rush fan. I mean, in my era, if you didn't like Tom Sawyer, there was probably something wrong with you because that was out. And it was a big song. And I sang some Rush songs in the past, 2112 and things like that. But it wasn't something that I listened to all the time. But without a doubt, one of the most influential drummers out there ever. So amazing. Everybody I know that's ever met him or any drummer I know is, Neil Peart was the man, And I remember growing up and the drummers trying to play him and me listening to his drumming. It's funny because I was a singer and a guitar player, and I would listen to him play drums on those records and be like, holy crap, man, this guy is... I never heard anything like him with that, I don't think I ever have the way he did it. So yeah, it was amazing, and to see the outpouring of love and stuff that's happened after that shows you what kind of an influential drummer and person he was, really. Because all the drummers and, like I said, that knew him just were like, this guy was class act.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. I thought, and plus, growing up in Ohio and stuff, they pretty much broke in the States in Cleveland.
Yeah, well, we're right over there. We're right there. And, a lot of people broke around there. And, that was – but, they broke a little younger, a little before.
Right.
I probably – I started really getting into the harder rock music and hard rock music like in the early 80s, mid-80s, early 80s. So, yeah, but, yeah, they it's crazy to see that. And that's probably why even – just worldwide reading the stuff on Facebook and Twitter it's great. I've sat and read so much. I'll sit and read what people talk about. I never usually do that, but I'll actually read it.
Yeah, the comments, yeah. Well, I'll tell you what, Ripper, we'll see here April 4th at the Token. Of course, you got that Ronnie James Dio thing coming up on February 20th. I have to say, for someone that sings Ronnie James Dio, sometimes you treat me a lot better and you're a lot nicer than Andrew Freeman. So I'll just put that out there, and you don't have to even have to comment on that. I'm just saying. So,
Andrew, he's a great guy. I love the Last in Line guys, and I love Andrew. I'm probably a little more handsome.
And
I'm joking.
You're a lot nicer, trust me.
Andrew and I do talk all the time, so we're that's good, and I will see you soon, and we'll chat again.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking 5 of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on 5 we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top 5? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
Al Beck joins us for the rock news right here today on the Talking Rock with Meltdown podcast. Ripper, I really love talking to him. He's great with the answers, great with all the questions. Loves talking about his time with Judas Priest, which is cool. Were you a fan of his Judas Priest era, or do you not know that much about it?
I don't know that much about it. I'm obviously more of a Rob Halford guy.
Yeah, that jugulator.
Yeah.
It's kind of weird because, at the time he was in Priest, the music has shifted. That was, right after, grunge hit and everything. So,
right.
It was like a different time period and stuff. And, and now, it's kind of come back full circle. That last record they put out was awesome, man. Mm-hmm. Firepower, just great with Rob. But, Ripper's a great guy. Love talking to him. And I can't wait to see him coming up here. He's got a lot of tour dates. You can check out his website and stuff for all the tour
and
days.
The dude is super talented and stuff. It kind of sucks that he is in one of those bands where it's like they've got the one singer. Maiden is always Bruce Dickinson.
Yeah,
what I mean?
Yeah,
Ozzy is Black Sabbath. Although actually kind of prefer Dio.
Dio stuff is great. We just talked about Dio.
Yeah.
And it's like, you know, like he said, hey, I was in the band for 10 years, two records. I got a live album, all sorts of stuff. It's not like he wasn't in the band.
Right. I know. You know? I know.
But I think that he was in the band during like a weird time in music, you know, and that's the thing.
But that's why I'm saying, like, it's almost a shame that it was like Priest of all bands that Ripper was in, because you think Halford.
Yeah.
You know, not to take anything away from Ripper.
No, for sure, man. So anyways, but great talking to a Ripper. So got to thank him for all the time. And of course, we just touched on Neil Peart. He said he wasn't a huge fan, you know, growing up, but he can respect everything, which, I, you know, listen, I get it. If you're not a fan of Rush, like, I understand that. Like, we just talked to Danny Warsnop a couple days ago. He's not a fan, but, and he says that divides the room. And that's true. It's like, you're either a fan or you're not.
Yeah.
Right. That's kind of seems to be the way it is.
I'm not really a fan of Rush, but I respect the hell out of them. All of them in their musicianship.
That's the thing. It's like, how can you not at least respect what they've done? You know, there's bands I'm like not really crazy about, and I kind of respect them a little bit, you know, and whatever. And I can give them, you know, their due. But for Rush, they're like, every guy in that band is like so good.
They're all phenoms, every single one of them. And it is like, it's, you sit back, and if it's just if you're not really a fan, it just means it didn't necessarily connect with you.
For sure.
But I can sit there, and even though I'm not a huge Rush fan, I don't mind them. I can do a few songs. I couldn't listen to a whole album. That's too much for me. But I sit back, and the people who love Rush, I go, I get it. I understand why you love this band and why it has that kind of following. I just don't personally connect with it like the way they do.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's understandable. Yeah. So, but I mean, look, this happens every single time somebody dies. Their sales just go through the roof.
Absolutely, which obviously happened with Rush in the wake of Neil Peart passing away. The song sales are up 2,304% since he passed away. Album sales went up 1,820%. Which is nice to see that it's the sales that had such a massive increase, because streaming numbers are obviously up to people going to their Spotify or Apple Music. Those are only up, though, 776%.
Only.
I know. Only great. But when you compare it to over 2,000 for song sales, still pretty cool, though. But
I wish this podcast went up 700%. I got to be honest.
We just need 7 people.
We need another 12 people.
Yeah, 12 people subscribe. We'll be up 700%.
There you go. So anyways, switching gears a little bit, Bret Michaels getting ready for that big tour, of course, with Motley and Def Leppard and what have you.
Joan Jett.
Yeah, Joan Jett. And he's getting ready for the tour, taking care of a couple health issues.
Yeah, kind of a little bit of a rough start to 2020 for Bret Michaels, but it sounds like everything is going to be under control. He went in, got an MRI, found out that he had a torn rotator cuff, said, well, that would explain why I had this lump on the side of my arm that looked like a bone sticking out. He's got this torn rotator cuff he's got to get taken care of, and also going to be undergoing a procedure to take care of some skin cancer after a biopsy. So a little bit of a rough start, but he posted a thing up on his website, very optimistic. He's got some of the great doctors out there, great specialists working on him. So he just basically said maybe not quite so many solo shows and events as he's getting ready, obviously, for the big tour with Motley Crue and Def Leppard. But he obviously is expecting to get into better health.
Yeah, I was supposed to go see him on New Year's Eve back in Western New York, and he canceled the show about 2 weeks before New Year's Eve due to scheduling conflicts, and he played some big bash in New York City. So it's like, wait a minute. Anyway, he got something going on in the Bahamas and whatnot. But let me just say this on the record. Bret Michaels is truly one of the nicest guys you'll meet. I've been around him a couple times. He couldn't have been nicer. One time I was broadcasting live before a show, and he was opening up somewhere, and he's playing football in this empty parking lot, and he just kind of meandered over towards us, threw the ball around with us a little bit, took some pictures, was super nice, sent his guy back on his golf cart, brought some guitar picks, and
nice.
And then one time I remember watching him with my wife on the side of the stage, and by the time the show was over, it was my wife and about 30 other women, and he he literally, like, walk down this, you know, and his manager's trying to get him to go. He's like, come on, bro, gotta go. And he stopped and talked to every girl and took pictures and was super nice.
Yeah.
He gave my wife a kiss on the cheek, took a picture, shared a couple words with her, and moved on. You know what? At the end of the day, That's all you can ask for, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
And he was super nice, and he's just a good guy. So wishing nothing but the best for him.
Certainly.
I've had a chance to meet Ozzy a few times. The first time on a runway at a private airport in Cincinnati, that was something. I don't know if I've ever told this story, but we'll keep that for another time. But he's got a doc coming out, eh?
Yeah, documentary. There's a trailer out for a new Ozzy Osbourne documentary, which is actually going to be an A&E biography documentary. It's called The Nine Lives of Ozzy. There's a film trailer that's out there now, which features appearances from like Rick Rubin, Marilyn Manson, Post Malone, and Rob Zombie. Obviously, his wife and kids will show up in this thing, too. I don't have like a home release for this, but according to Rolling Stone, Nine Lives of Ozzy is going to be premiering at South by Southwest this spring.
That should be really interesting. And, you know, they got this big push, of course, going on for this record. I got to be honest, so far the songs I've heard, we talked about this last time, with the exception of that one line about defecating. Other than that, the stuff I've really liked. I'm going to have to get this on vinyl, I think.
Yeah.
It might be vinyl approved.
Vinyl approved. I like that.
Hopefully it's just one vinyl. I hate when they do the 180 thing. You got like three songs on each side. It's like, I don't like that. I want just the one thing.
Right. I agree with you.
The one disc. But yeah, that should be a great documentary. I wonder how much they're going to, you know, he's got that other daughter, Amy.
Yeah.
Who's kind of like in the background. She doesn't like the spotlight. She kind of keeps to herself.
I remember.
That's from his previous marriage.
Yes. And I'm not a very big reality TV guy at all.
For sure.
I did watch a little bit of the Osbournes when it first came out on MTV. And I remember them panning and there was like stones or something that had each of their names on it. And they blurred out Amy's name.
Yeah.
Or what. I have no idea what her name was, but she was so disinterested in being involved in that show that they wouldn't even put her name on it.
A-I-M-E-E, I think.
Is that what it is? Yeah.
So, when that show first came out, I remember watching it and I'm thinking to myself, I'm such a huge Ozzy fan. It's like, oh, this is going to be great. But then it kind of revolved around the kids and Sharon and stuff. And it's like, oh, my God. And it's like, and look, one of my friends is a TV like producer executive type of thing. And he told me years ago, we're talking like 15 years ago, he said, dude, nothing on reality TV is real.
Yeah.
And you know, you watch the Gene Simmons show and it's like totally phony, right? It's totally fake. But I have to believe that everything that Ozzy did on that show was Ozzy.
Yeah.
Because that's just how he is.
I have to believe that Ozzy had no idea he was on a TV show.
That could be too. But I thought Ozzy's... I thought his show with his son Jack, the World Detour, was pretty good.
I never watched it, but...
That was really interesting. It's like watching the Pawn Stars or like the American Pickers where they find some really cool stuff and you kind of learn about it.
That's so, newer, right? That was like within the last year or something like that?
Well, the last few years, yeah. And so, like, for example, he went into like the deep inside the mountains where they kept all these tapes of, you know... like just American artifacts and stuff so they could never be lost or in a fire or nothing. And one of the things was the masters or whatever for Blizzard of Oz.
Oh, no kidding.
And so he got to listen to it, and he would talk about, Randy did this, you know. It was so interesting, but that was really cool. That was a great show. That wasn't filled with reality TV show drivel as much as you could for that.
Sure, yeah.
So anyway, switching gears, Dave Grohl, what do we got? There's always something with the Foo Fighters going on.
Always something with the Foo Fighters. Kind of a short story today. He issued a statement not that long ago in reference to the 25th anniversary coming up this year for the Foo Fighters. Really just kind of reaching out to the fans and thanking them for making every night of their life the best night of their life by coming to these shows and everything. And also just kind of was teasing the fact that, you know, buckle up, we're not done yet, and there's lots of stuff to look forward to here in 2020.
Wait, they're not finished?
Right.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Well, there you go.
So, again, not really a lot of details, but it does sound like they've got some plans for this year. But, yeah, officially that debut album of theirs turns 25 on July the 4th.
And that's the record that Dave did everything on.
I believe so, yes.
Yeah, he played all the instruments, did everything like that. I remember going to see those guys. I didn't know I was going to see them. We flew out to San Francisco. With some listeners on what we used to do, these blind date things where we would fly out there. They'd put you in a theater and the curtains were closed. I did this twice, actually. I did it twice personally. And one of them was at Mandalay Bay Mandalay Bay, and they got the Dan Aykroyd gigs, House of Blues.
House of Blues,
okay. Couldn't think of it for a second. All right, I've been there before. I'm thinking of Steel Panther. I've seen them there, you know. So anyways, House of Blues, and the curtain's drawn.
Well, there's no clubs called the House of Blues, so.
Yeah. Well,
it's tough to remember.
Yeah, right, exactly. So it was right on the tip of my tongue. So anyways, yeah, the curtains are closed, and then they open them up, and STP is on stage. And so anyways, went to the, this was really cool. And it must have been 97, 96, something like that. We flew all the way out to San Francisco, and we went to the Fillmore West, which of course is historic, you know?
Yeah.
And the curtains closed, and they opened up the curtains. There's Foo Fighters. But they were like pretty, I mean, it was pretty new at the time. So
yeah. I love that concept, but at the same time, you're kind of rolling the dice or whatever. And all I can think is like the Big Lebowski. Like, imagine, like, he's the Big Lebowski's in the crowd, and they open the curtains, and it's the Eagles. It's been a long day, and I hate the effing Eagles.
I think they did the same thing with Harley Davidson. They had, like, their 100th anniversary or something like that, and they open up the curtain, and Elton John is there. Yeah. All these bikers are like, what is going on here? Yeah. I remember, I think Kid Rock, by the way, is his birthday, so happy birthday to the kid.
There you go.
Anyways, I remember that I think he jumped on Elton John's piano, and they're like, yeah, whatever you do, don't jump on his piano. So, of course, you know, Kid Rock has to jump on his piano.
Oh, of course, yeah.
So, anyhow, final thing here for you. We've got, this is really cool. I saw this on the internet today, of course, being a huge hockey fan. But, you know, when players hit milestones, 1,000 games, 1,500 games, goals, you know, in this case, wins for a goalie, they give them like a little...
commemorative something.
Yeah, right,
like
exactly.
A trophy or
gold stick or whatever. So, but this is really cool.
Yeah, the drummer. I'm getting ahead of myself here. But the goalie from the Bruins, Tuukka Rask. I'm not as big of a hockey guy as you.
He's Finnish or something, or Swedish.
Yeah, completed his 500th game for the Bruins. And
it was his 500th game?
Or 500th.
I thought it was his 500th win.
Yeah.
Now we got to check everything that's going on here. All right. This is his 500th win, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Did not actually play Thursday night as he's on the injured reserve earlier that day, but they did decide to surprise him with a commemorative gift from the team of the Bruins and. Honored their net man for reaching 500 NHL games for his career.
Oh, 500 NHL games.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, yeah. I screwed it up then because I thought it was 500 wins. Okay.
Well,
my bad.
Why did he get such a cool gift then? He showed up 500 times?
I know it, really.
I think I've showed up to work more than 500 times.
I know. Where's my cool gift?
Yeah. Well, anyway, I guess since we kind of blew it here, well, I'll just tell you what they gave him. A Metallica drum. Drum set.
Yeah, a whole big drum set.
A whole drum set.
Man, I wonder what his record is now. I thought it was 500 wins. All right, now I got to look this up. Oh, man. I guess I'm thinking to myself earlier, I'm thinking 500 wins in the NHL is a lot. Chris Osgood had over 400. He's not in the NHL Hall of Fame, and I'm thinking Tuukka Rask has got to be a shoo-in for the Hall of Fame. But
The deeper we get into the story, does he really deserve this? I think we need to go to his house and O.J. Simpson his ass.
Man, what is going on with this?
We'll take the drum set.
Now I gotta look this up. It's like, are you kidding me?
I should clarify, by O.J. Simpson, I mean take the memorabilia, not stab him to death, and then get away with it.
All right, there you go. Okay, so all right, here we go. He's played 523 games. Okay, he's got 282 wins and 154. Come on, man. Really? He gets a drum kit?
Right.
When I made 20 years here at the radio station, I bought my own watch.
You had good ratings. You got 3 slices of pizza.
That's 4 sometimes.
They got to be really good ratings for that.
All right, well, I botched this whole thing. I thought he had 500 wins, and I started thinking, I'm like, man, that's a lot of wins. He does have 14,514 saves. That's a lot of saves.
It's a lot of saves. We're making it better for him.
That's
well,
right.
Anyway, he gets his Metallica drum set. We get nothing. We get this podcast.
He's had 1,140 goals scored against him. He has screwed up at work 1,140 times. He's screwed up.
Terrible.
God. Tuukka. Awful. Actually, for his career, he's a .92 save percentage, which means if you took 1,000 shots, he would stop 921 of them.
You know what? I'm thinking he doesn't deserve a Metallica drum set. We need to get him a Red Hot Chili Peppers sock instead.
Exactly.
That's what you get.
Come on.
Previously worn.
All right. Give your socials. I'm done.
Albeck Radio, Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram.
Now that we botched that up, @MeltdownWRIF. Hey, thank you guys so much for checking out the podcast. We've got more guests coming up next week, and we got a really cool... classic prog rock guitarist I've already talked to. Really good stuff coming up. And that's just the tip of the iceberg. I got some other things, some other irons in the fire. As always, you can follow and subscribe. And, of course, five-star ratings, write reviews. That's always appreciated as well. We do love that. Hey, thank you so much for checking out the Talkin' Rock with Meltdown podcast.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.